leg on the bond, but the ham to hold. I mean the bones, the back ends, the down with the steamy clink, the tear them all, the big ass, the down with the bump, believe
me. Do not adjust your speakers. You're not having a stroke. That is in Simlish.
That is awesome, is what that is.
That's fly flown the flirk. Wait a minute. Fly flown the flirt with a T from The Sims 2. I can never spit it out.
I think that is awesome.
I say you guys go ahead and grab that and rock that in the car like I do. Just pull up next to somebody and start bobbing your head and say all the words, because they're not going to know what the hell you're saying. It's going to be like, what is that? It sounds like
that's Chris. Awesome.
Especially somebody drunk. Oh, fun. Oh, fun.
Oh, fun. Totally fun. Totally, totally fun.
How you doing, Juju?
I am running on very little sleep, but I'm doing good.
I'd be running on sleep, too. I have sleeping shifts of an hour and a half at a time. I don't know what that was about.
Wow. Blog talk is going to be a real not nice word this morning, apparently. I heard something about blah, 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 sleep, blah, 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 shift or something. I don't know.
I said I was sleeping an hour and a half increments shifts all night.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Very fun. I know. I love it. I love it. Ah.
So, you got news? Wait, have we told them where they're at?
No, you can tell them where they are. Where are they?
Lunch with Ginger and Corey, babies. Oh, yes. That is where you're at.
That is where it's at.
Huh? Huh.
You got two turntables and a microphone. Not really.
We should. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I found out that I look good with the turntables, but I really don't know how to use them. I found that out in Best Buy a couple weeks ago.
Never used them, so that could be fun.
Well, I used to have friends that were hip into the hip hop scene and everything, and I sang some backup for one of their songs. I never know what happened to that song. Let me just tell you. I swear, if I find this out, Beyonce, I'm coming after you. That song, Crazy in Love, sounds very similar to the song that I recorded for them some years ago. And if I find out that the same people worked on it, you're giving me some of that money, Beyonce. Anyway, but yeah, they had turntables, and I always wanted them to teach me how to use them. And they were like, girls, don't do turntables. And I used to be so mad.
Why not? What? Oh,
stupid, because, you know, they Salt and Pepper were out. Cinderella, they had been out for years. So apparently girls do use turntables. Mm. My guy.
Not right.
Bunch of meanies. They just didn't want me to touch their turntable. That's fine. Be that way. I'll get my own.
Of course.
I'm still here. Hello. Uh-oh, I think we lost our Ginger again. Ginger, are you gone?
No, I'm here. But I'm looking at the Blog Talk Radio, and it's not showing us live.
Well, we'd be live. Anybody out there can't hear us? If you can hear us, raise your Twitter.
Yes, if you can hear us, raise your Twitter, raise it high, babies.
If you can hear us, raise your tweet.
A link over here. Hold on. I went and stole the link that I just put up on Facebook. Maybe it's just Blog Talk being weird.
Well, I can hear that on your end. So while she does that, let me go ahead and do some news just in case we are still live.
All right, we're still live.
Hey, see, Ginger's trying to make me panic. She knows I'm in go mode today. Go, go, go. All right.
Girl, I was about to panic. I was like, why is it not working? Why you no work?
Exactly. It's just one of those days. Ever since I woke up, I've been, things have been happening, but I have been taking it all in stride. I am like Rockstar at the beginning of their games. You can't knock me down. All right.
You can't knock me down, baby.
You can't knock me down. Oh, I shouldn't hit my chest like that. Okay, so those of you who are waiting for Risen 2 Dark Waters is coming out on PC tomorrow. Pirate Treasure is awaiting you. Jungles, counter ferocious monsters, man or woman, your own pirate ship, search for hidden treasures, and fight the Kraken.
The Kraken! Oh my god.
Live a pirate's life. Ho ho, a pirate's life.
It's tentacle porn!
So, of course, those of us on consoles will have to wait a little bit longer. The anchor for that will drop on August 3rd, 2012. Of course, it'll only be in the UK. Not here. Come on, guys. Give us something, UK people.
No, that's not nice. Why you got to be leaving us out? Well, is it the southern accent? I mean, come on.
Yes, I think that's what it is. Also, the UK console version will include an additional episode called the Air Temple. Console versions will be released on the 360 and the PS3. It will not be released on the Vita with the castanets and all that business there. If you want to know a little bit about the game, or for our UK listeners, because we have quite a few of you for some reason, you love us. We don't know why, but we love you back just as much. And with our
we love you back. We love you back so hard.
I'm going to blow the and everything. in Risen 2, Dark Waters, right? The Inquisition dispatches the hero to seek a remedy against the monstrous sea creatures that are interfering with the shipping lines, thus cutting off the island supplies. The pirates seem to know how to deal with these here critters, but they are hardly cooperative. New gameplay elements add to the diversity of Risen 2. For example, players can also use firearms now, and being pirates, adventurers can also employ special new skills called Dirty Tricks, allowing them to confuse our attack mentally.
Season.
Come back. You notice how I said it, Dirty Tricks.
Dirty Tricks.
That's how we Americans say it for you.
Yeah.
Kids.
She said it so dirty that I had to sneeze.
I do like the way the Scottish said. I cannot emulate it. Anybody Scottish, you ever want to call in during the night show and say dirty for us? I like it. Do it. Call us up.
Yes, that'd be hot.
Oh, I love the way they say it.
The time, so I remember to bring extra clothes.
I do say clothes, not what you're in your agent. Thank you.
I filtered myself. All right.
I heard that in your head loud and clear. Mm-hmm. Bad Ginger.
Fashion and stuff, I swear.
What you got for the peoples? Get the peoples what they want.
Right. What have I got for the peoples? I have got, well, if I can find it again, because I was just over at the Blog Talk page. You people!
Oh,
you, you, right there. Second row from the left, dark hair. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right, so anyways, Leisure Suit Larry remake gets fully funded.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I corrected.
Let it die. GamePolitics.com. Replay Games and Leisure Suit Larry series creator Al Lowe have officially gone over their Kickstarter funding mark with just 7 days left until the deadline. As of this writing, the project garnered $501,527 of its $500,000 goal as promised by 11,146 backers. This means that a remake of the very first game, Leisure Suit Larry and the Land of Lounge Lizards, will be developed. Oh, my God. All right, so Replay Games said that said whatever money they garnered above its target number would go towards expanding the project to fully localize all the voiceovers into as many languages as possible. We will start with Figs, French, Italian, German, and Spanish, and then branch out from there. We will shoot Leisure Suit Larry onto additional platforms, XBLA, PSN, and, of course, Linux. The game will come to life with a live orchestra performing all your favorite Leisure Suit Larry tunes. Oh, my God, I can't talk. And we got game. When our funding goal is exceeded, we plan on adding more rooms, more girls, and more lousy pickup lines. We're basically making it bigger, better, and uncut. That came out wrong, but you know what we mean. anyway, so there's still 7 days to make the rest of this stuff a reality. If you want to check it out, there's a link. But, oh, my God, it's long. So, which here is really hard to do, or you can head over to GamePolitics.com this morning and pick up the link.
Okay, I'm all talking muted and whatnot because you know that's how I roll.
Yes, we can totally read your mind through the airwaves. Yeah.
In the future, you will be able to. I'm just saying.
I was going to say it'll be hot, but no, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to punch me if they could read my mind.
I don't care. I will project it to you. What?
I'd be like, oh, my God, did you see what she did with her avatar?
I may copy and paste anyway. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it'd be one of those, oh, man, the other day, I was like, oh, that guy's hot. Seeing him from behind. Turned around, oh, my God, it was a girl. It's like, ah!
Well, people, Nintendo's running in the red.
Mm-mm.
It's a sad, sad day for those of us in the land of Nintendo. Some of you were like, aha, we knew it. But the results are still better than prediction, thanks in part to, you guessed it, the 3DS. According to GI.biz this morning, Nintendo has released its full financial report for the period ending March the 31st of this year, recording a 43 billion yen loss. That's about 531.1 million American. The net loss, like the 647 billion yen in sales. Sales were down 36.2% from the year prior. Last year, the company posted sales of 1.1 trillion yen. Did you hear what I said? Let me repeat that. 1.1 trillion. I didn't say billion. Yen. And a profit of 77.6 billion yen, with those figures already representing respective drops of a 29.3% and a 66.1% from the full year before that. Over the course of the year, 13.53 million 3DS units were sold worldwide, with over 5 million units in Japan alone. However, a weaker-than-expected Christmas for software sales meant that there was no time for recovery from the poor performance, which marked the first month of the 3DS schedule. 36 million units of the 3DS software were sold worldwide, with unspecified third-party titles being identified as strong sellers alongside the perennial fits Mario Kart and Mario Land. The Wii may be in fast decline, but the year leading up to March 31st was hardly a dry period for the platform. 9.84 million hardware units were sold worldwide, backed up by 102.37 million software units. So you all, we did tell you, six years old now, isn't it? Seven? The Wii, 6, 7 years old, still selling. That's pretty good.
Yeah, something like that. That is still very impressive.
Very impressive. And considering, again, that they don't break, this is not sold because it broke. This is sold because new people picked it up. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
As with Sony, Nintendo suffered greatly from the exchange rates imposed by a strong yen and a largely foreign market, which would be us. 27.7 billion yen was said to be lost to exchange rate. 71.1% of the company's business taking place outside Japan. Despite that, a higher percentage of sales took place on Japanese soil than in the year previous, likely reflecting the territory's stronger DS sales. 22.9% of revenues came from Japan in the last 12 months compared to the 16.6% in the year before. The U.S. did represent a smaller slice with only 38.8% as opposed to the 45.5%, whilst Europe... Yes, while Europe remained largely stable at 33.6%, up from their 32.5%. Despite the disappointing figures representing the first full year loss in the company's history, Nintendo was confident that next year will show a return to profit, seeing a 26% increase in sales to the 820 billion yen and a profit of 20 billion yen. Part of that upturn should come from any improvements in the efficiency of the 3DS production, with Nintendo predicting that it should be able to sell each unit at profit within 6 months. So basically what they did was they shrunk all that stuff down and made it easier, better, and they're giving it cheaper, and they're going to make their money back. That's how they roll. In the software stable, new Super Mario Bros. 2 is expected to be a top performer, along with Animal Crossing. Oh, hotness. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Woo, y'all know I love me some Animal Crossing. And a new Brain Age title. Of course, the next results will also include the first 3 months or so of the Wii U sales, which Nintendo says will be released in the U.S., Europe, and Japan at the end of this calendar year. I will tell you, I'm wants to be getting me a 3DS because come this fall, I need some new Animal Crossing, and I need to be in a corner somewhere playing while it's cold, bundled up in my blanket with my coffee.
Yes, yes, you do.
And I'm just telling you. I may have Ginger across the way. She'll be talking, but I won't hear her. Because it's all about the animals, baby.
All about the animals.
The animals.
I'm going to lose my voice this morning. This is going to be
fun.
I'm trying not to. I'm really, really trying not to, but. All right. So, my turn?
Your turn.
All right. You Linux folks. Oh, yes. You penguin-loving freaks. There is a report up on GamePolitics.com this morning. Steam clients for Linux well underway. According to Michael Larabelle of Phoronix, Valve is developing a Steam client for the Linux operating system. I'm going to lose my voice. All right, so the story began to take shape last month when Larabelle tweeted about Valve's Gabe Newell had reached out to him about the Linux build of the client's software. Today, Larabelle tweeted that he flew to Valve headquarters in Bellevue, Washington, for a personal meeting. Steam is coming to Linux, he replied in response to a question on Twitter following the announcement. Another tweet revealed that Valve has a whole bunch of plans related to Linux. Valve does have Linux games coming, plus other very positive Linux plans. I'll briefly post some screenshots tonight. Those screenshots have yet to be posted. Oh, you liar, liar, pants on fire. On top of all that, a post in NeoGAF forum detailed Larabelle on Phoronix IRC talking about how his tour of Valve headquarters and that he ran Linux binaries of the Steam client himself while there. Hopefully, Larabelle will release some of those images at some point soon to confirm his public statements on the matter.
Wow.
Yes. So, yay, way to go, Linux. You get Steam. You can be just as addicted as his PC people.
Well, I think that is brilliant of them. And, of course, you know we will be talking about this later on tonight on This Week in Gaming with Gamer Girls Radio because we were.
Oh, tonight is Thursday.
It is Thursday.
I've been a day behind all week, woman.
That's because we weren't here yesterday. It throws you off when we're not here. We're sorry. You guys are going to be okay.
No, even yesterday. I thought yesterday was Tuesday.
Ooh, mm-mm.
Yeah, I totally missed my trash day. And I live out in the boonies. So,
That's not good.
No.
That's not good. That's not good.
No.
All right, so you people out there that loves you some, what's the name of this game? Gremlins, have you heard of that? Yeah, they are opening up their beta test, or actually closed beta testing begins for it. It's a shooter, and it's an MMO. Yeah, try to breathe. Based out of Hamburg, Germany, GameGo and Drago Entertainment will be sending the first of its players to survival training in the decimated world of Gremlins starting today. This is the first step of beta testing, which will focus on technical details such as server stability, optimization of the network code, and testing new features. The first beta version of the shooter MMO Gremlins includes a dozen new dungeons full of post-apocalyptic adventure for groups of players. Weather effects cast dark shadows on the I love it. Landscapes has dynamic clouds, rain showers, and other weather events. The physics engine allows the environment to react to external influence in a physically accurate manner. New vehicles consume gasoline and can be weapon and armoring. The crafting system, which you all know we love here, which plays a key role in the player-controlled economy, has been given a complete overhaul. A variety of professions, such as weaponsmith, armorer, or engineer, allows players to choose specializations. I said that with a whole list thing going on. New and better building plans are unlocked by increasing one skill level. All of the new features, I'm going to give you a quick rundown. So you got your physical engine implemented, 12 new dungeons, you complete weather system with the clouds, the rain, and all other stuff they're not telling us about, which leads me to believe there will be some snow and some ice and some hail and some sleet. I just love it.
Roar.
Crafting system overhauled, new professions, new vehicles with the physical engine. Vehicles can now cause damage. Vehicles can be equipped with weapons and armoring. Vehicles do consume gasoline, and they're saying there's some new graphics effects that they don't want to tell you about. You got to see it to believe it. You can pop over to GameGo. GameGo? Yeah, let me spell that
GameGo?
Out for you. Yeah. It's GameGo.com. Go over and check it out. They're accepting beta applications. I would paste you a link, but it comes out really long when we try to do it that way. Why did it's in the email long sheet and short and everything, but when you actually get to it, wait a minute. Well, there's a teaser. I will link you to the teaser if you'd like to go. Tell them that we sent you if you're up on Twitter watching us. All right.
All right.
So that's been tweeted, and they're going to see it before they hear it. So, yeah, they'll see it before they hear it.
All right. So, you more craziness, man. People are nuts. I love me some GamePolitics.com. They have some of the greatest stories. Man convicted of stabbing his wife over PS3 addiction. 21-year-old Eamon Corby of Wallington, England, was convicted in Croydon Crown Court on Tuesday for stabbing his wife. The charges stem from a November 2011 domestic dispute, which ended with Corby stabbing his 21-year-old wife, Ada, in the back with a shard of glass from a broken mirror. During the trial, she told the court that she had packed a bag and intended to leave with her 18-month-old daughter, but Corby attacked her before she could leave the residence. She said he broke her cell phone, smashed a bedroom mirror, and attacked her with a shard of glass. The incident followed an argument the night before about the amount of time that Corby spent playing his PlayStation 3. Corby was later apprehended in a nearby park, covered in blood. He admitted to officers that he stabbed his wife, but when the case went to court, he changed the story and denied the crime, according to police.
Wow.
The couple's relationship was described as stormy, and the latest incident happened after a fresh round of reconciliation. Ada Corby told the court her frustration with her husband's video game fixation was an indication that she couldn't take the arguments anymore. All right, seriously. I'm going to assume he stabbed you. This is not the first time he flashed out at you. So please don't go back to him. Remember that pretty little scar on your back is from him. It's not good. Take your little girl or your little boy, whatever it is, and little girl, there we go. Take your little girl and just go away. It's not healthy. And this dude needs some serious mental help. I mean, I love my games and all, but I would never stab some. All right. If you're stealing my games, I might stab you. But otherwise.
Oh, that's a stabbing. You touch it in the console. You're trying to leave my house with it. Oh, you're going with the intent to steal it. Never bring it back. Oh, that's a stabbing. All right. Well, some people in Montreal are looking for a job. It's sad. We did tell you to come to Texas.
What happened?
EA Montreal is seeing a small number of layoffs in the quote-unquote reorganization we've been telling you about over the past few months. EA has confirmed that some teams are switching focus, is what they're calling it. EA Montreal, according to a source, EA is reorganizing teams to focus on digital initiatives, including new mobile and social projects. EA Corporate Communications is the one that is the source for that particular little quote. They also say these are routine changes which address the I'm going to put my own word there because I don't know who wrote the cylindrical nature of the game industry. I like that much better. A very small number of employees will be impacted, and many will be assigned to new projects at EA. Others will leave the company. In other words, hit the road, Jack, don't come back no more. EA added, overall, we expect that EA's headcount will be up at the end of the year, reiterating the company's line from last week about its global workforce. EA Montreal has worked on many franchises such as Army of Two, Boogie, Skate It, and more. Boogie was... sources are indicating that the cuts at the studio were as high as 50 employees, but it appears it may be fewer than that actually leaving. You know... I don't know about Army of Two. I think I played a demo. I was not impressed or not impressed. Either way, it didn't affect me. I don't really remember much about it other than the song that we play. You know, the song that we play here, the Oh No. Boogie, I'm sorry, a colossal failure, epic fail. I keep it here at the house because there's lots of little people that come through. They like to play Boogie. It makes them happy. But it, yeah. They made some major mistakes. They were trying to jump on the Rock Band bandwagon and didn't actually think about what they were doing. So it kind of wants to be Rock Band, but then it's not sure. And then it kind of wants to be Dance Central, but it's not sure. It wants to do it at the same time. It's not really sure. They also tried to make clean versions of the songs, and while they left out some bad words, they left some in. So I come in and I see little people saying stuff they shouldn't be saying. I'm here. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, I was saying they took out some words and didn't take out others. So from the other room, I'm hearing little people saying things they shouldn't be saying. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and all the girls are like, what? What are you doing? What did you say that word? It was on screen. Oh, my God.
That would be great. That'd be awesome.
Oh,
that'd be hilarious.
Yay.
I'm one of those who encourages that kind of thing, so...
Yeah,
I go home and I teach my nephew to say noob and ganked and.
Those aren't bad words. I'm talking about the actual.
Mother thinks it is. It's hilarious.
No, I'm talking about the bad words that they should not be saying.
Yeah.
The ones that get you banned from school and stuff like that. Yeah. So they took some out, but they Boogie was just thrown together, in my opinion. The kids love it. Don't get me wrong, because they don't they don't know. But as a gamer, I really. And on top of that, the other thing was I think they were saying that. I don't remember if it came with a mic or not. Yeah, it did. It didn't work. So I had to send the mic back to them. I said, I don't like that. I buy a new game and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I said, well, let me just exchange it. Well, no, we'll send you another mic.
Yeah, I've got... That annoys me.
That annoys me to no end. And here's the other crux. It wasn't exactly that the mic didn't work. It didn't work with Boogie. It worked fine with Rock Band. Figure that one out.
Well, that is odd. I wonder what was up with that. Some kind of mixed code somewhere.
I don't know.
Well, that is odd. It's a peripheral issue.
That's thrown together. That's what I say. It was very thrown together. You guys needed to get it together. Maybe these people need to be fired. I don't know.
Yeah, something. Somebody needs to be fired somewhere from a cannon into the sun.
Maybe you need to go home. You right there sitting at your desk. Go ahead, put your stuff in the box. Put the cover on the TPS
report
anyway. Yes, and leave the stapler. And you didn't put the cover on your TPS report anyway, so you fired.
And I won't be needing you to come today. All right. So, you European players. Oh, my God. All right. European players protest Bloodless Terra MMO. A handful of Terra European subscribers are quite angry about Blood and Terra, and they have launched an online petition to complain about the lack thereof in the European version of the massively multiplayer online fantasy RPG World from Frogster. The petitioners are upset that Frogster decided to cut down the amount of blood that appears in the European version of the game. So, as the escapist points out, they don't seem to be upset at the other features omitted from the European release, like adjustments to the game's classes, the leveling system, and more. A lot of this has to do with the rating the game received in Europe and not some strange conspiracy by Frogster to keep gory sights from the fragile eyes of the MMO players. In the United States, the game has a rating of M for mature by the ESRB, but in Europe, the game carries a PEGI rating of 12+. This low rating has a lot more to do with the lack of blood than anything else. Even armed with those facts, around 700 people have signed the petition. To get a general gist of its message to Frogster, we offer the following excerpt. It says, "We as members of the Terra community feel that this time you have crossed the line." You crossed the line. You heard that? You crossed the line. which is titled Bring Blood Back to Terra EU. The community was patient for a very, very long time with your incompetence and childish games. You have played with the boundaries of how much the community can take. Count in all the false information that was given to us. All right. So if you'd like to ignore the game's rating and get on the action, you can find the petition over at ipetitions.com. It's a really long link, so I'm not going to give you the whole thing. You can go get it over at gamepolitics.com this morning. And cool. Isn't that fairly usual? European gamers don't, they tend to have like green blood instead of red, right?
You know what? It took me a minute to catch on to a joke, and I was like, really? Did I green? Oh, no! Oh, man. I need sustenance. Okay. So the NPD. What?
Caffeine.
Oh, that's not what I heard you say. I was like,
hi, Corey's brain's in the gutter. No, yeah. Ginger is being good. I'm being good.
Anyway, so NPD sent us over some interesting information we wanted to share with you about apps. Apparently, a company called Mobile Phone Track is saying that you adults in your 20s and 30s are disproportionately purchasing soft. Why can't I speak? Disproportionately purchasing smartphones. They say you splurge, of course, on the most expensive technology. It appears that you might be using it to help save on things such as your groceries. The National Eating Trends data shows coupon apps are used by about 25 million Americans each month. You know what? I haven't used one, but I am now because I need some coupons. This happens most frequently in households with children. Naturally, with more mouths to feed, these families need to spend more money at the grocery store, and these apps help them find the best deals to stretch their grocery budgets. The foods they consume more often are mostly kid-friendly, skewing towards staples such as eggs, cold cereal, bacon, sausages, macaroni, cheese, soup, and fruit juice. Marketers in those categories have opportunities to build tighter relationships with these consumers using coupon apps and other technologies. One such other technology of note is, of course, Groupon. More than half of Americans are aware of Groupon. About 1 in 5 consumers receives emails regularly from the service, and roughly the same proportion claims to read through the emails at least monthly, equating to more than 60 million Americans. This is a huge potential audience for marketers attempting to connect with tech savvy.
That is a huge potential.
It is. Cookbooks are still currently the top source for recipes. The digital age has brought recipes to anyone with internet access. Over the last year, about half Americans accessed the internet to get their recipes, me included, because there's some stuff I always wanted to know how to make, and I just said, I'm going to learn how. What did I learn how to make? Dumplings and coq au vin, and I never could.
What is coq au vin?
It's chicken with wine and some other. Well, everybody makes it different, but it's good. I learned how to make a pot roast because I never did before because my grandmother would point and laugh at me. And then when I made this, I said, bam, taste that right there. What?
I do pot roast in my slow cooker. So.
Yes, I have one, but I didn't know how to make pot roast. But I learned from the internet, and it came out so delicious. I did it with the wine.
I will tell you my trick. I go to Walmart, and in the meat section, they have it all packed. They got the meat. They got the vegetables. They got everything. You just add the water. Ta-da.
No, no, ma'am. I didn't do water. You didn't hear me. I said wine. That's bad. It was so delicious. It was so tender. I don't even eat beef, but everybody was like, oh, my God, where'd you get this recipe? Off the internet, baby.
You're going to have to send me that recipe because I'm really not a fan of pot roast because, like I said, I just get it from the Walmart section.
It was good. It was good. They also noted, they said, most other traditional recipe sources have been declining in usage.
So while websites such as allrecipes.com and epicurious.com, I visit All Recipes quite a bit, have become top destinations for consumers in need of cooking ideas, name brand manufacturers seem to be garnering more loyalty by harnessing the power of the internet and mobile technology. Our recently released report, The Evolution of Private Label, Does Brand Name Really Matter?, shows consumers who are frequently using social media and apps on their smartphones, they claim to be more loyal to brand name items versus private label. And this media is called social because it is a form that gives people, as well as companies, items versus private label. The media is, yeah, y'all, why did y'all repeat that? Just with consumers, since they are now opting for the name brands rather than the generic items at lower price. About 7% of consumers say they go to Amazon.com at least every 2 or 3 months to look for food or beverage products that they may be interested in purchasing. While that number might sound low, it's leaps and bounds above other sites such as Alice.com and Peapod.com. Amazon is likely able to garner that kind of audience because its enormous presence and expands well beyond food and beverages. I am quite impressed. Another app, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, Out of Milk. If you've not tried that one, it's not a coupon app, but as you all know, with all of us here, we always talk about how on the go we are. I love this app because I go in and scan stuff in the kitchen.
Oh, that is the one. I was going to ask you whether or not that was the one with the Q codes and everything.
Yeah, it does the barcode.
Oh, wording code, whatever they call it.
Yeah, whatever. Go, you scan. It doesn't do so well with things that aren't name brand or that are indigenous to your local store. But stuff that you eat that's name brand, you scan it, and it makes your grocery list for you. And
that is
then,
awesome.
Yeah, you can go in the store, and you just go down, and you tap it as you go, and then it clears them all out. You can even get really detailed if you want and scan things in and actually add them and put the price in, and it'll even come up with a total for you. So you know exactly how much your grocery bill is. Really nice app, and it's free.
We love us some free.
They do have a paid version, everybody does, but that's an excellent app, like I said, especially for me because I'm always a person at the store going, do I have milk?
Yes, I've done that. Actually, I have two things of really big mustard at the moment sitting in my fridge because I totally forgot. I don't use mustard hardly ever, and I was like, you know, I think I'm going to buy these corn dogs. Do I have mustard? Oh, no. I'm going to buy some mustard just in case. So now I'm going to have mustard for, like, the next 3 years.
Three bottles of ketchup, a bottle of mayonnaise.
Yes, true story.
Three different kinds of onion powder, four different kinds of garlic. Yeah, that's why I use that app, because I'll be like, wait a minute. Because you could also have it pull up your history. Be like, what did I get last time? Okay, I don't need that. No.
I don't know if I still have it. I think I've blocked it now because I got annoyed with it, and then I'm lazy. There is an email group that you can sign up to that they send you ideas, like 5 ideas for dinner, easy ideas for dinner that night, and it only takes like an hour to throw together and cook.
I like that idea.
Yes, I'm going to have to see if I still have it, and then I'll post it up, because that would have been nice were I not so lazy.
Yeah, my grandma stopped pointing and laughing at me since I've been going to All Recipes. I made some fish the other night, too, that I took her some. Oh, yes. It was Parmesan encrusted tilapia.
Yeah, I wish I could eat fish. I can
12 minutes to make. 12 minutes. Look, we're all off the subject. Okay, so we need to get back to our gaming news. They're like, what is this, a cooking show? Yeah, we know.
If
it involves technology, we will roll it to the show. It works.
Yeah, I would say, you know, hey, we're girls, but no, most of the girls I know don't like to cook. I know more guys that like to cook than girls.
I do, too. I'm one of the few girls I know that cook.
Mm-hmm. I can't. It's kind of a running joke. All right, so Deus Ex Human Revolution Ultimate Edition for Mac released today. Yay! Feral Interactive today released the international blockbuster action RPG video game Deus Ex Revolution for the Mac, developed by Eidos Montreal for game consoles and PC and brought to the Mac by Feral Interactive. Deus Ex Human Revolution is a prequel to the legendary Deus Ex 2000. Deus Ex Human Revolution for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Windows PC is published by Square Enix. Deus Ex Revolution, Human Revolution has enjoyed critical and commercial success on its original release platforms. The PC version has an average Metacritic rating of 90/100. Across all platforms, the game has shipped over 2 million copies to date. That is nice. The Mac release of Deus Ex Human Revolution Ultimate Edition is a complete version of the game containing the explosive mission and tactical enhancement packs and the Missing Link DLC. It also includes a 40-page book of concept art and bonus disc featuring a 44-minute making-of documentary, a motion comic, animated storyboard, CGI trailer, and the game's soundtrack composed by Michael McCann. All right, so anyways, if you want this, it is $49.99 USD. It looks like it's going to be £34.99 pounds. In the UK, $39.99 throughout Europe. Awesome. So it's also available on direct download from a variety of digital partners. Anyway, if you want more information about this, I have it up on GamingAtrix.com this morning.
Horace says, this guy can cook, put my ankles in it. I just responded to him, told him he was a nasty Horace, but I know what you're a Southerner. Those of you who are not Southern, that means you just really can cook. When somebody says they put their foot in it or their ankle in it, it's a
I've never heard
cooking.
That.
You haven't?
I've never heard that. I'm from the South. Come on, man.
Oh, you're in another part of the South, then. That's like the running thing down in the southern part of Texas, of Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. Somebody says
that sounds like something, you know, you crazy Louisianans would say.
I am not a Louisianian. I don't
think
I am anyway. I don't think I am anyway. But it is indigenous to the South. Just means that somebody can really cook. So if you ever hear somebody from the South say that, they don't mean they literally put their foot in it. Don't be like, ew, you did? That's nasty. That means, man, she put her foot in it. I think it equates to she's so good that she used, you know, her hands and her feet at the same time to cook. It's really good. Okay. I don't know. It's kind of nasty sounding, but that's what it means. Anyway, Yahoo is having some issues. The market cap is down. Their stocks are down. Their employee count is down. According to VentureBeat.com this morning, Yahoo has lost significant market share, reducing its staff multiple times, and its market cap continues to dive. But Chief Executive Vahati Scott Thomas is trying to rehydrate what is currently his raisin of a company by killing off unnecessary products and restructuring the organization. The media giant is struggling to stay relevant while other companies take facets of his business and do them better. Yahoo News, aggregated from all the other blogs and news sites out there who know what they're doing. Like us. We're one of them. Answers, made better by Quora. Search, dominated by Google. Mail, made less spammy by Google. Maps, well, you get the picture. Since 2006, Yahoo's market cap has taken a dive from a high of $55.6 billion to $18.8 billion today. Along with this decline, Yahoo is losing revenue while continuing to increase costs. Indeed, the company is a little desperate, earning its nickname as Patent Troll after suing Facebook for infringing back in March. But the company is trying to dig itself out. In 2008, Jerry Yang, Yahoo's former CEO, decided to cut his staff by 10%. In 2010, Yahoo's current CEO, Scott Thomas, followed suit and cut staff by 14%. The hope is that this will reduce Yahoo's costs and allow it to be nimbler and raise its stock price, which hasn't hit above $20 a share in 3 years. All in all, we've only seen the beginning of Thomson's reign. The CEO announced a plan to kill off or combine a number of unnecessary products and help streamline operations. These could include a few of the products mentioned above, including Maps, Messenger, and Answers. Wow. I didn't like that they got rid of the web-based Messenger at all. I think that was one of the things they probably should have hung on to. People nowadays, since we're getting into the whole cloud and all that stuff, do not like things we have to install on our computer. So I would have liked it if you could have kept it, because I had one open like on 3 different computers because, you know, I got a million screen names. Sometimes a girl got to hide and stuff. But
I was talking about that to somebody the other day, and they were talking about, I only have 2 emails, and I was one for, you know, their home and one for work. And I was like, I think I have 3 for work. several for gaming.
I got like 15. And yes, I know all of them. I probably got more than that. There's more than the 15 that I don't know that I hardly ever use. But
Sometimes
you got to do that. Jinja.
It is my go.
It is your go? I was going to ask, may I do another? Because
oh, sure,
it goes
sure.
Hand in hand.
Well, sure, you go right on ahead, lady.
Well, seeing as Yahoo is dying, they should probably take a page from AOL. Because AOL was dying for a while, but now they have picked up the pieces, so to speak. And now they're building their own TV network. That's right. They launched it. It's a video site called AOL On. It's announced its new live streaming channel for the Huffington Post web publication back in February, but now its web video channel plans appear to be much more expansive. Yesterday, the company launched a new video called AL On Network, which brings all the company's video offerings, Huffington Post, TechCrunch, Engadget, AOL.com, and others under one umbrella. The video content will play across 14 content channels, including food, business, entertainment, style, tech, travel, and health. Where's the gaming channel, people? Oh, we got to call them up today. The AOL on audience of 57 million U.S. consumers on a variety of internet-connected devices, according to ComScore, a report of video viewing behavior from March 2012. The site itself is based on technology from AOL's 65 million purchase of video syndication startup Fivemen. Through AOL's video hub, users will be able to surf the most relevant videos in real time from a library of over 320,000 high-quality short-form videos created by over 1,000 third-party publishers on AOL, as well as AOL. Most people are probably thinking there's no way AOL is going to produce enough compelling content to rival the efforts of Hulu, YouTube, Revision 3, and others. Revision 3, never heard of them. But the company has announced 6 entirely original programs produced by some high-profile names in the entertainment world. I will give you a brief rundown of those people. It's also signing up celebrities like Heidi Klum and Adrian Grenier to curate video content throughout the day for people to watch. Getting interested yet? The new site is saying it's not going to be a YouTube clone. Two of the examples, I have to throw this in. I was trying to leave it out, but it's so catty, literally. I said, you won't see any curious kitties doing humorous things or brutal gang brawls that end in epic lightsaber battles. but they said that's not the thing that they want to do. What they want is ongoing ad revenue for Star Wars box office weekend portions. Online video ad spending is expected to reach about $7 billion by 2015, according to an eMarketer report released in February. AOL wants a large chunk of the video ad growth, and it's one of the top 10 most popular destinations for video content on the web. The company has a decent chance of achieving these goals. And a lot of you are saying, AOL, yeah, that company that we used to all have on our computers back in the 90s has reinvented themselves. I say it's smart. Here's a few of the shows that you got going on. You got Digital Justice. It's going to be live on AOL Tech TV today, live. Huffington Post Crime. Digital Justice is supposed to be a weekly reality show that follows digital forensic investigators as they solve cyber crimes. That's right, cyber crimes. Series deep dives into fascinating crime prevention units that are using the latest digital technology. Fetching, which was written by Sex and the City's Andy Harris, is set against the backdrop of New York City. Stars Elijah, a young woman who quit her job as a lawyer and ended her engagement in the same week in hopes of pursuing her dreams of opening her own business, a doggy daycare called Fetching. You know what? It's just stupid enough sounding for me to watch it. I really want to see it. Little Women, Big Cars is going to be coming out May 7th. It's a web series centered around 4 soccer moms struggling to balance their busy schedules, family lives, and sanity. Next Door Hero, it's an unscripted series that features everyday Americans with extraordinary stories. The new series will put an action-filled spotlight on America's bravest everyday heroes. I kind of like that. And Nina Garcia, it says whether you're embarking on a new relationship, just starting a new career, or having a new baby, 2 things just happened. You found a new life and you lost your groove.
You got to get your groove back.
The swag, thrill, and mojo of your look is totally gone, and there's only one woman who can help you get it back, Nina Garcia. There's also Tiger Beat Entertainment, a deeper, more thoughtful lifestyle and entertainment show for and by teens and young adults, covering a wide variety of pop culture and lifestyle categories with a genuine view. I say go for it, AOL.
Yes, totally.
I'm glad to see you were able to reinvent yourself. Yahoo, start taking notes. See what you can do that's different.
I know. I feel horrible. I mean, I actually went and opened up an AOL account the other day.
I've had mine for over 20-some-odd years.
I have lost mine, and since I've, like, reinvented myself several times over on the Internet.
Well, you people, I feel bad for Yahoo. I don't want anybody to lose their job. And I hear Yahoo is a really great company to work for.
I've heard they're a great company to work for.
So I'm hoping they figure out what they're going to do. Maybe that guy, that Scott Thompson, maybe you need to do a calendar because I'll buy it.
Rawr. I like this idea.
Just saying. You can call it the Save Yahoo calendar.
Geeky guys.
No, just him.
Just him? All right, we could do that, too.
I thought we were going to start calling him Hot Scott. All right.
I have got, this is not exactly about gaming, but it's on a gaming site, so I'm going to talk about it. Operation Kickstart, Florida National Guard uses gamification to help unemployed soldiers. The Florida National Guard has found a novel way of helping its state's unemployed The Florida National Guard has found a novel way of helping its state's unemployed soldiers work in the private sector, a program called Operation Kickstart. The program uses gamification techniques to educate and teach participants in a game-like social platform environment. It also provides them with support through mentors and coaches that can teach them the best practices for starting a new career and being successful at it. The Operation Kickstart site notes that the program is geared towards younger soldiers who may have grown up playing video games and using technology. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, many soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan had an unemployment rate of 11.6% in August 2011, compared with the national unemployment average of 8.3%. In 2011, the annual rate among veterans was about 12.1%. Yeah. All right. So there is more information if you want to check that out. It is over on GamePolitics.com this morning. Being military family myself, please support this. I think this is awesome.
All right.
Of our boys and girls coming back without jobs.
Well, apparently G4 has officially lost its Cecily, or Cessler, I should say.
Oh, I saw it's a Cecily.
I said Ceci, but we should call it Cessler. I saw this one coming, and this been.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did. He whispered something in my ear a couple of years ago, and I knew it was going to be a matter of time. He says, I'm older than my effing demographic. And he was looking around at some of you gamers out there. You may love you some Cessler, but you were getting on his nerves. I'm just saying. Well, and he's a nice guy. I'm just saying. When you get me a certain age, the age gap just kind of, it's like oil and water. It's not even that he doesn't like his fans. It's just, ugh, you know. Some of you out there will understand. If you're in your As you get a little older, you'll notice the teenage people around you start to irk your nerves because you're like, God, was I that stupid when I was that age?
I'm so stupid as a teenager. I'm not even going to lie. Oh, my God, the stuff
but
I did.
But you don't know it when you are a teenager. You don't realize you're stupid, but you are.
No.
And all of us have gone through it. But it irks your nerves because you wish you could slap them or even reach back and slap yourself and say, God, was I doing this to somebody? Ooh, stop. But anyway, Adam Sessler, a longtime co-host with Morgan Webb of video games TV show X-Play, has left the show and the network. That's right, according to an email that was received by the people over at, where am I getting this from anyway? GI.biz. They received an email from one Mr. James Molesky. He's an entertainment lawyer who's worked with and represented Sessler for more than a dozen years. Molesky says that Sessler's last episode of X-Play will be on G4 today. That's right, today. Yesterday. His projects include starring as himself in the summer 2012 movie Noobs and consulting with a firm production company on theatrical feature adaptations of video games. Adam intends to stay in front of the camera and continue as a key voice within the games industry. He also sings and is available for weddings and bar mitzvahs. So, Cecil's time as host of X-Play dates all the way back to 1998 when it first aired as ZDTV's GameSpot TV. Cecil also served as editor-in-chief of games content at G4. It's absolutely not clear if Cecil just wants to venture out on his own or if there was some mutual agreement between G4 and Cecil and that perhaps it was time to move on. Nobody said anything to them. Kotaku is saying that they've heard that he's leaving due to a contractual dispute and the departure was not on amicable terms. I'm more leaning to not amicable terms because he's very The Sess is, like I said, a nice guy, but there's no punches pulled. He pretty much says whatever he needs to say. But he's nice. And sometimes that can be misinterpreted as being mean, but it's just, why not?
I can't wait to meet all these people in person.
Well, I'm hoping that you get to meet him now. I don't know if he's going to be at E3. And he's also been very nice to us. He's been very supportive of us when he's allowed to be. Of course, you know, G4 kind of clamps down on a whole lot of stuff.
Bessler, I'm an adorable redhead. Show up.
Yes. Well, if you got booty, then you're good because that's what he likes. We all know. I got to do this one real quick because I think I have been a victim of this. You guys out there, Cryptic Studios has announced that they have been hacked.
That's not good. Everybody's being hacked.
Yeah, they've uncovered evidence of unauthorized access to their customer database that occurred back in December 2010, which I knew about because I can't get back into my CRH account. I keep trying. I thought it was just me, but I swear.
I don't know what you're saying.
I pretty much figured. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, this occurred back in December of 2010. The company stressed that they have no evidence that credit card data was taken, but it is possible that it occurred. The unauthorized access access included usernames, accounts, user account names, handles, and encrypted passwords for those accounts. Cryptic Entertainment said even though the passwords were encrypted, it is apparent that the intruder has been able to crack some portion of the passwords in the database. All accounts that they believe were present in the database have had their passwords reset, and customers registered to these accounts have been notified via email of the incident. Cryptic also detailed what information the intruder could have taken. While they said, while we have no evidence that any other information was taken by the intruder, it is possible that the intruder was able to access additional account information. If they did so, the first and last name, email address, date of birth, if you provided it to Cryptic Studios, your billing address, and the first 6 digits and last 4 digits of your credit card registered on the site may have been accessed. So they have no evidence at this time that any data other than the account name, handle, and encrypted passwords were accessed for any user. So the intruder would not have gotten a complete credit card number, but it's possible that information could have been used to help compromise an account. As usual, caution is advised for those of you who suspect you may have been a victim. They also said in their statement that they are continuing to investigate the incident and that they will not contact users asking for credit card information, social security numbers, or other personally identifiable information. So if you get that, you know it's not them. Cryptic Studios is a developer behind City of Heroes and more recently Champions Online and Star Trek Online. Currently, they are developing Neverwinter Nights, the MMORPG based on the Forgotten Realms setting from Dungeons and Dragons. And they, of course, were purchased in August of 2011 by Perfect World Entertainment. So what that means, kiddies, if you had an account with them for your City of Heroes prior to 2011, you need to go and watch your email. Your password's going to be changed. Myself,
oh, no. But this happened like in 2010, right?
They said as early as 2010. So if you've had an account since even before then, because I've had one.
So this happened 2 years ago, and they're just now telling us?
Well, yeah.
Blizzard, I'm looking at you. I'm so glaring at you, Blizzard. You listening, Blizzard? Yeah, what I thought.
I'm going off on somebody. Go ahead and do what you say. I got to go off on somebody after you do this. So.
All right. You do that. Xbox Live, great for making new friends and setting up drug deals. yeah. All right, so Xbox Live is a great place to meet new friends and apparently the perfect venue for scoring a pot deal. But today we offer you a cautionary tale on making such deals. Don't use the postal service to deliver that package. 19-year-old Garrett Bryant is learning that lesson firsthand. How hammered were you? Oh, my God. How baked were you? All right. So Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Oh, that explains a lot. Police and the postal inspector allege that Bryant had a pound of marijuana mailed to him under a fake name. The trouble started, according to police, when the package allegedly meant for Bryant was sent to the wrong address. The man there opened it and, to his surprise, found a bag of marijuana. He called police and the police in turn contacted the postmaster who sent out a postal inspector. He was expecting clothing in the mail, so he opened the package without looking at the address, and what he found inside was not to be clothing, says Officer Josh Satterley of the Lawrenceburg Police. The police and postal inspector who took the package and headed a few blocks over to the correct address on the package addressed to David Smith. It's always those darn Smiths. there was a name on the package of David Smith. Garrett Bryant from the postal inspector. When he accepted the package and advised his name was David Smith, we executed a search warrant on the residence, and that's when we recovered the pound of marijuana, says Officer Satterley. Once that happened, Bryant admitted to police that he made the deal with someone he met on Xbox Live who lives in California. Bryant claimed that he paid $2,300 for the pound of marijuana, the proceeds of which he would use to help his mother pay bills. Police aren't buying some of Bryant's story. They say we have reason to believe he wasn't selling it for financial gain for his mother. He was using it for personal use as well. Of course he was. I mean, come on, seriously. There's other ways to help out family than to sell drugs, says Officer Satterley. Yeah, like getting a job. While Bryant will face one count of trafficking of marijuana, he will not face a federal charge because he has cooperated fully with law enforcement. Wow.
Well,
some people just... They make my head hurt. Who thought this was a good idea?
I wish I could tell you that I understood why some of you out there do it. I think, again, they're going to have to institute some type of etiquette class in the schools about things you don't do on the internet, if for no other reason to hopefully deter some of this stupid behavior some of you do. I'm going to call out sick, and I'm going to post it on Facebook, and then I'm going to turn around 2 hours later and post pictures of me on the beach so my boss can see. People, really, we've said this before. I said this when I did the thing for the Girl Scouts. You cannot hack real life. So if you're going to be calling off sick and faking it, call your boss on the phone. I'm not coming in today. I'm sick. And then don't post your pictures to Facebook. Don't tweet them. Don't say anything. Because guess what happens?
You get caught. You get caught. You get fired. All bad things happen.
And I'm not saying people are right, your boss is right for watching your Facebook, but as we pointed out many times, the internet is still the wild, wild west. There is nobody watching to make sure your boss doesn't look. There's no judge that says internet stuff is, you know, is
separate. The line that I say you should not cross is when your boss starts demanding your Facebook password.
No. I wish a boss would ask for my Facebook would sue them so fast before they got the words out of them. I'm going to need your Facebook. Oh, lawsuit, Tam! Yeah, no. You don't need to give out your Twitter, your anything, your information. If you have a work Twitter, obviously, that if the company asks you to start it, it's theirs. But you, some of you out there, you're not thinking very clearly. You don't tweet to your boss and say, I'm not going to be at work today. You just don't. And you need to learn to separate your personal life from your business life. And speaking of which, I normally do not do this, but I feel I must.
What must
for, you? For those of you out here, quite a few of you write us and want to be interns. We don't mind. We love having you if you want to help or you want to write. Right now, we're in the midst of the day. My lovely girl gamers from the community is helping us. It's taking a while because we've been around a while. It takes a while to update all this stuff. But when we have some of you that are interns and you are not – put it this way. If you're an intern, you have no idea who you're asking – to intern at their company,
mm-hmm.
Be careful what you say. We've had an intern that wrote to us, and now I'm calling him out because this is the second time he's now written to us and said the wrong thing. Just shut up.
And does he even listen to our show? Does he know what we do at all?
No.
I mean, because I know there for a while he thought we were a game development company.
Yes, and he still does.
He's not done any research at all then.
No, and he...
See, people, if you're going to apply for a job, a position of any sort, even an internship, know who you're applying for and what they do.
Yeah, and it was as simple as typing it into Google. This, again, goes back to some of you out there are just, you have no type of internet etiquette. You cannot apply for a job at a company, especially in the industry, and not know who you're contacting.
Exactly.
And... The thing is that I have contact with a lot of people that would have been really helpful to somebody just getting started in the industry, but you were rude and you said things you shouldn't be saying, and you still are referring to us as a game development company. We are not. We are Game Matrix and Gamer Girls Radio. We do gaming, period. We don't make games, not yet, maybe someday in the future, but right now, no.
We just play them.
We just play them, and we tell other people when we play them if they're good or they're bad. I'm just, yeah. Anyway. Any of you out there interning, make sure you do your research. That's how you get the job. That's when people are impressed by you. And most assuredly, guys, if you apply to be an intern at a female-owned and operated company, watch what you say. Comments about female genitalia, any of those things are not going to go over well and will get you blackballed. You never know who knows whom and what for and why. Anyway.
I saw your ad. I went to Google. I looked you up. I knew who you were.
And she wrote a very lovely, lovely, lovely. It was a lovely, lovely email. Okay, we gotta get going. Well, so we will talk more about this actually later tonight when we have the other two partners in crime.
Yay! I can't wait.
And lots of other stuff we have to talk about. So we'll see you guys tonight. Make sure you're here, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. What do you mean you're not coming, Horace?
Horace, you better be here. You better be here, or I'm breaking it off, Horace.
Ooh, sounds like first problem.
later, boys and girls.